Derek was incarcerated, serving a 13-year sentence for dealing drugs.
I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know who to pray to. I didn't know what to say. I said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But one thing I do know, I want to know you and I want to serve you.
Stories of God's grace, next on Renewing Your Mind. We welcome you to a special edition of our program as we approach the end of the year. I'm Lee Webb, and joining me is Ligonier's president and CEO, Chris Larson. And Chris, we always keep front and center the mission that Dr. R.C. Sproul had when he founded this ministry more than 46 years ago, and that is to help people grow in their knowledge of God and His holiness.
I'm excited about this program for our listeners today because I think they're going to hear the story of how God works through the preaching and teaching of His Word. And sometimes we just don't know all the different places that the gospel goes, but God has His purpose and His Word accomplishes exactly what He has set forth for it to do.
Well, that's so true. And as you mentioned, Chris, we have the privilege of introducing our listeners to some folks whose lives indeed have been transformed. And God in His wonderful providence has allowed Ligonier to be part of their stories. We call them Stories of God's Grace. These are actually video segments that you can view online, and I'll let you know more about that a little bit later. Our first segment features the man you heard at the beginning of our program. His name is Derek. And you know, it never ceases to amaze us the places Dr. Sproul's teaching reaches, even within the walls of a prison. Let's meet Derek now.
I grew up on the streets. In my youth, I was in and out of juvenile. I'm selling a lot of drugs. I get the attention of the federal government. And at 21 years old, I'm indicted on a federal drug trafficking conspiracy. As soon as you get arrested, everybody tells you, turn to God, read the Bible, pray. And in my mind, I'm like, no, why turn to God? During this time, my then girlfriend was going to church. I didn't know. She knew I was against it. She knew I didn't support it. I had never read the Bible. I had never even looked at it. I don't even know what's what. She says, read the book of John. She wanted me to read the Gospel of John, but I ended up reading 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I never forget those verses where that verse said that God is love. And then the other verse where it says, this is love, that He sent His Son. I didn't know what that meant at that time, but I knew I was blown away about the simplicity of it and about that truth that God is love. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know who to pray to. I didn't know what to say. I said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But one thing I do know, I want to know You and I want to serve You. I had new desires that I knew something had happened. From that day on, we started a Bible study. When I got sentenced, I was sentenced 156 months, which comes out to 13 years. And in a lot of ways, I was grateful. But of course, you know, it's a long time. This one occasion, we got in a heated argument. The brother was saying that you could not lose your salvation. And all of us were saying, yes, you could lose your salvation. He goes, I want to give you a book. This will help you understand, you know. I said, yeah, okay, give me the book. I'll read it. I said, I'm going to prove this guy wrong. And the book he handed me, of course, was Chosen by God. Dr. Sproul, when I read the truth, I was just overwhelmed. Like, man, I can't get over it. Little did I know that God was going to prepare me to preach and teach to these brothers. 4 months before I was going to be released, providentially, an old friend came into my life, and that was my now wife. There's testimony after testimony from every angle. I mean, whether it be from work, relationships, friendships, church. I mean, God's hand is literally at every angle. It's beyond expression. You know, there's just so many things you could share. What is your servant? that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I. And when I think of the grace of God in my life, nobody knows more than me that I have absolutely no right to be such a recipient of such grace. And when I read this verse, man, the joy of the Lord just runs through the blood in my veins.
That's Derek, a story of God's grace. And Chris, I was really moved by his reading there. He was quoting 2 Samuel 9. You know, David had shown kindness to Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son, and he brought Mephibosheth, and he ate at the king's table.
We're all in that position as God's children if we've humbled ourselves and repented of our sins and come to Jesus Christ. And the Lord is kind. He doesn't leave us where we are. He's always moving us into Christ's likeness. And sometimes that's painful, but the Lord is faithful and he is good and he will continue to sustain us even as he brings us closer to himself.
Well, a major focus of Dr. Sproul's teaching, of course, is God's sovereignty, his good and perfect rule over all things. And, you know, understanding that brings great comfort to us when things don't go our way. And with that in mind, here's our next segment. It features a couple named Stephen and Ellen. Let's meet them now.
Up until our journey to have a baby, my plan and God's plan were exactly the same. And so it was easy. It was easy to trust God. God's plan is awesome. He knows what he's doing because it was exactly what I wanted. And then all of a sudden, God's plan is very different from mine. And so I think this is God's way of, okay, Ellen, now it's time to stretch and grow your faith. We couldn't have a baby. We're trying to accept that God's plan is for us not to have a baby, and then all of a sudden we have five. We're pregnant with five.
I'm watching the ultrasound. I figure it out about 15 minutes into this. I know there's five.
And I sobbed. I just started sobbing. There's too many.
There's too many to have a viable pregnancy. So we thought this was going to be fantastic, and it is not.
You will die. They will die. You can't. You can't
do
it.
It's impossible. We will have to reduce this pregnancy.
What? Like, how can this be? I've prayed for years for a baby, and then now this is happening? And shock, fear, it was awful. This is what God says is the right thing to do. This is what the Bible says. But I'm going to die, and my kids are going to die, and all these doctors who know what they're doing are telling us we can't have this pregnancy. You know, it was like an internal struggle. Like, what do I do? And I'm so glad that I had Stephen and, you know, all the other people who are around us. And so as scared as we were, we said, okay, we've got to find a way to fight for them and do everything we can to make sure that we've given them a chance. Actually, there's quite a few people who are having high order multiples. And I remember Stephen coming home and saying, well, there's this doctor in Phoenix. This is Dr. Elliot. And I remember vividly that he said, Ellen, there is no reason that you cannot have a successful pregnancy. It was a couple weeks later that I went into labor. And I remember being in the triage at the hospital and saying, it's not going to end.
We're
not going to make it. But I remember praying every morning, like, God, help me find peace in this bed. Find a way to say thank you for at least giving me, you know, a baby. We still joke about that. I just want a baby. Well, now we know. Be careful what Stephen prays for. So the babies were in the NICU after they were born. The shortest time was 6 weeks. The longest time was 8 weeks. We flew back from Phoenix, and I remember being like, what are we going to do? There's five babies and just two of us. And the women from Christ Church showed up the next day without me even asking. Our life is a testimony to the strength that God gives you when you think you have nothing. Today, you know, almost 5 years later, He's still giving us patience and strength just to even get through the day sometimes. He's giving us wisdom. He's giving us peace, and He gave us joy. Now I can look at it and I see evidence of His goodness and of His plan being different than my plan, but His being so much better, as Stephen was saying. And I can totally see Him pulling me to Him so much more than I even thought that I could be when this all started.
Lee, there are just layers upon layers of that story where you just see the Lord working to develop in Ellen a better understanding of who He is and how she should respond to His will as it's more and more revealed to us. We don't just get a playbook for our life. And that key moment in there where she finally understood that it wasn't her will that was God's will. Instead, she realized that God's will needed to become her will too. And that's sometimes a sandpaper moment for us in our life. I don't even think about you, Lee, when you were in the broadcasting world. You had to kind of wrestle through a very painful moment even in your own life.
That's right, Chris. I mean, I go back to 1993 when I was serving as the news anchor for a network affiliate in Jacksonville, Florida, and I happened to give a speech on media bias, particularly against Christians. And I ended up being suspended from my job and eventually lost my job a year later. But I sensed God's presence in my life in a way that I had never felt it before. But it all came from an understanding of God's sovereignty, that He was not wringing His hands over my situation. And as a result, nor should I. And I'm eternally grateful. But I will also say to you, Chris, that that worldview change that caused me to give that speech was a result of being a Ligonier student and understanding God's sovereignty and His rule over all of my life, that I needed to submit myself entirely, my job, my life, my role as a husband, my role as a father, to Him.
This is key because this is the story that we hear played out week after week as testimonies come to Ligonier Ministries. Mm. And so Ligonier is just trying to continue to produce these resources and to do it faithfully in a trustworthy manner. We don't know where the Lord's going to take some of this teaching. We don't know what providential moments the Lord has planned for all of His people around the world, really. But we want to be there, and we want to be first to serve them with these resources, providing resources to pastors, to teachers, and to the people in the pew.
And in line with that, Chris, as we speak, there are thousands of American military members who are serving around the world right now. This is a particularly difficult time for those who are deployed in harm's way and separated from their families during the holidays. For many years, Ligonier has supported the troops through our chaplains ministry, providing resources that allow them to minister to those under their care. A testament to that support is retired Army Chaplain Colonel Jim Carter, who reflects on his service during the Persian Gulf War.
This is chaos and confusion. This is as uncertain as it's ever going to get. There's 17 rockets falling in on the compound right now. The sirens are going off, and I'm sitting in this bunker with these five other soldiers, and we're just kind of looking at each other going, is this it or not? But if it is, the peace that has guarded my heart through the Reformed faith and my mind is, Lord, I know with assurance I'm going to be with You. I don't have to guess. And it will be painful for my wife and children, but they don't have to guess. I served in the military for about 23 years on active duty and roughly about 2 years in the reserves. Right on the border between Saudi Arabia and Iraq, I had 4 months with me, the soldiers, camels, the whole nine yards. And I said, Lord, what can I do? One day in the middle of the desert, there was mail call. And as you have heard stories about the military, mail call is a big deal. And so I showed up, and they gave me this huge box, and I opened it up, and there was holiness of God and developing a Christian character. I think the soldier's greatest need is really what everyone's greatest need is, and that is to come to a realization that they are lost without the love of Christ. I was deeply appreciative and indebted to Dr. Sproul as my seminary professor, but also as a person who is impacting my life and hundreds of others out in the middle of the desert in 1991, and has done that ever since.
Well, we appreciate retired Army Chaplain Jim Carter. Chris, would you tell us how we minister to the chaplains here at Ligonier Ministries?
We're providing hundreds of chaplains resources for free every year. And so we'll contact them a couple times a year, or they're free to contact us. And we've developed a relationship with some of the different branches and the chaplains serving all around the world. And they'll contact us for requests for either Reformation Study Bibles or teaching series or books or Table Talk magazine. And we're able to provide these to them. And this is all supported by the Ligonier Ministry Partners. These chaplains have no budget to work with, and so we realize that we need to step forward and provide these treasures of teaching to them freely. And by God's grace, they continue to grow in terms of the number of requests to us, and that is just a delight. We love getting those requests in from those chaplains and to hear the stories of how it's making a difference in the service people's lives. They're telling us stories about husbands and wives whose marriages have been in difficult times, and because of the teaching of God's word that they're able to bring to them through some of these resources, the Lord reunites that marriage and brings them back together. Or just the very dangerous situations, helping them to understand the sovereignty of God. And you hear that here in Chaplain Carter and what he was able to do to even give the soldiers that he was surrounded with a confidence that if they knew the Lord, they could do their job with full courage and confidence that the Lord had them in the palm of his hand.
Right. And, you know, they talk a lot in the military about force multipliers, and these resources going into the hands of these chaplains truly is a force multiplier.
When I hear this story about the resource package showing up there in the middle of Saudi Arabia, I think of the parable that Jesus tells in Mark 4 about the farmer who's going out and he's sowing seed. And Jesus says this, "The farmer sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how." You see, we don't even know where the Word of God is going. We don't know where this teaching is going. We want to be faithful to produce it and to get it into the hands of as many people as possible, because the Lord of the harvest is always at work causing the growth.
Well, we are grateful that God has allowed us to broaden the scope of our ministry beyond the borders of this country. We heard from Chaplain Carter about receiving that package of resources in the desert in Saudi Arabia. And in line with that, we'd like for you to meet a gentleman from Venezuela. His name is Arnaldo.
I was raised as a Catholic, and that's should be expected usually from if you are coming from a Latin American country. And being a Catholic, not being Christian, mean that I need to save myself. So I was concerned, because if I was supposed to go to heaven because of my own work, I'm done. You are not able to keep yourself a saint unless God does the work for you. So I was feeling like, okay, the only way of going to, and I thought that many times, the only way of going to heaven is just because the grace of God. But I really understood that once I was a Christian. We had the arrival of the communism in Venezuela. I had at that time 22 years working for the oil company, and they fired us because we were not communist. We decided to leave the country and come to the United States. When I came from Venezuela to America, I was a practicing Catholic and I was a member of Opus Dei. And I started to read the Bible being in the Opus Dei. The more I read the Bible, the more I discovered God. And since reading the Bible is a means of grace, I started to understand many things that for me were wrong in my faith. And I organized Bible classes with some friends. When I started teaching Romans from a Catholic perspective, I began to have some questions that I was not able to answer as a Catholic. I started to look for information about the Christian faith from the Protestant perspective. What I found, it was a world of different thinkings, a world of contradictions. And I started to look for writers and teachers that were following the Bible in a formal way. And that's the way I think I found R.C. Sproul. I found myself explaining the Bible from a Reformed perspective. And then I realized that I had to make a change in my life. I said, okay, I think I believe in this, not in what I thought I was believing. It was the moment of my conversion, I would say, just reading the Bible. Convinced that I was a Catholic, I realized that I was a Christian. And I think that was the moment everything changed in my life. And I found my wife and my kids a lot more receptive of the faith from a Reformed perspective. I think, first of all, it's the grace of God. We started to have a daily family worship at night. And since the kids were already in college, or the two girls were married already, we started to use Skype. We feel very blessed, first of all, because the faith we received from God, and also because our family and all the good things we have in life. Every day, with my new studies and how I can apply what I'm learning in my daily life, in my work, and in my family, I feel like I am a more useful tool for God in his hands, just because His grace, not because I'm doing anything.
I hope our listeners are able to go and watch the video of Arnaldo, because what you hear there at the end, he's conducting family worship with his children over the phone.
In Spanish.
In Spanish. And there on the table is Table Talk magazine and a Reformation study Bible, and he's working through that day's daily devotion. And this is the power of God's Word at work.
And a well-worn Bible with little stickums all over it.
You really need to go watch this. Lee, can you tell them how they can do that?
Well, they can view Arnaldo's story and all of the others that we have featured here at renewingyourmind.org/stories. That's renewingyourmind.org/stories. And really, the reason that we wanted to share these stories with you, our listeners, is because you make these stories possible. It's through your continued prayerful and financial support that we are able to produce teaching series, publish books, the Reformation Study Bible. It's the reason this radio program is on the air. And so we're grateful for your gifts. And there are countless other stories out there waiting to be told.
We hear these stories all the time. And Dr. Sproul gets letters every day. People writing in from all over the world. And we're hearing more and more from people all over the world. But as we close, there's two scripture passages that we think a lot about as a team here at Ligonier Ministries. We think of 1 Corinthians 3. Paul writes, saying, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." And then this is where our listeners and ministry partners come alongside as they take this teaching, and then they are the ones who are helping us to get it into the hands of more people. We know that God is working through the teaching and preaching of his word. But in Romans 10, Paul again writes, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" And so this is the beautiful reciprocity of the Great Commission. As we go into all the world to proclaim and teach and defend the holiness of God, to be able to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, to be able to call on God's people to obey all that Jesus has commanded us, we come alongside the local church. It is the church that has been given this mandate. And Ligonier exists to be able to serve and elevate the preachers and teachers of God's Word to get this teaching into the hands of more people in every tribe, tongue, tongue and nation.
If you'd like to come alongside us, our phone number is 800-435-4343. Or if you prefer, you can give your gift online. Our web address, ligonier.org/donate. That's Ligonier, ligonier.org/donate. And let me provide a couple of details about this weekend. My colleagues are standing by here to take your phone calls today. But starting tomorrow, if you'd like to give your year-end gift, you'll either need to give online at ligonier.org/donate. Or if you're mailing in your gift, keep in mind that your envelope will need to be postmarked by tomorrow in order to be counted as a 2017 gift. We thank you for joining us for this very special edition of Renewing Your Mind, and we hope to see you again Monday.